Mortgages Made Simple with Rick Gunzik, helping you get the best home loan possible. Sponsored by Pacific Residential Financing at pacificresidential.com. And now, here's your host, mortgage expert Rick Gunzik.
Hi, this is Rick Gunzik with Mortgages Made Simple, bringing you another episode in our series of podcasts where we're helping you learn all about your mortgage and hopefully securing your financial future. And by all means, if you have any questions, be sure to send them to us. We'll give you the information on that later in the show. But joining me today is my fearless producer, Douglas Welch. How you doing, Doug?
Pretty good. Fearless? I like the sound of that. Fearless. I feel like Harry Potter. Oh, wait a minute. We just finished that book. So today, Rick, what are we going to talk about for the friendly listeners out there?
Today, Doug, we're going to talk about first-time home buyers and if there are any special programs or benefits to for first-time home buyers, because a lot of times people say there are, and I kind of want to shed some light on what's available and what isn't, Doug.
Well, I certainly know that buying your first home can be a frightening, exhilarating, scary, any other adjectives you'd care to apply to. So I'm looking forward to hearing about it. So tell us, Rick, what is the issue with first-time home buyers, and are there any special incentive programs out there for them?
Okay, Doug. What obviously a first-time home buyer is someone buying a home for the first time, and there are different mortgage companies that have different definitions for that, but it's gotten tighter in the last 6 or 8 months. It used to be that if you had a rental rating for 24 months, you know, if you've been renting from someone, they didn't consider you a first-time home buyer. However, nowadays, if you've never owned a home in the last 3 years, now you're considered a first-time home buyer. So, if, for instance, if you owned a home 2 or 3 years ago, and for some reason you moved to another state and came back, you wouldn't be a first-time home buyer. Now, it doesn't really affect you too much. However, on the first-time home buyer programs, they usually want you to put more money down. So that's the place where it affects you. Now, a lot of times you'll see people talking about, hey, we have first-time home buyer programs. Call us. We'll get you a home. What they're referring to mainly, because there isn't really anything that is a first-time home buyer program. None of the investors we sell to, nobody on Wall Street that sells mortgage money has anything that says this is a first-time home buyer program.
Really? That's intriguing. I've heard a lot about first-time home buyer programs, and I always assumed that there was some special piece of paper, some special program which applied to that.
No, they just kind of do it kind of as a tease to get your interest. But what is available for first-time home buyers, but the trick is it's available for any buyer, actually, is these things they call city seconds. Now, what this is, Doug, and this is the main thing I'm going to say that, you know, is closest to a first-time home buyer program that there is I know Garden Grove has them. There's some cities in Los Angeles that have them. Buena Park used to have one. And what it is, they allow you to have a second mortgage where you don't have to make the payments on it. And what they do is they do like an equity share with you. If you sell the home in 5 years, they take a percentage of what the value increased in the home. Now, the trick is, though, Doug, is these are very hard to get a hold of because most lenders don't like them because you're not putting any money down, and so now you've got 100% financing on your home. So a lot of the lenders don't like to see you do that because they want to make sure you have some money coming to the plate here.
Right.
But the other thing I want to make clear on that is the city seconds are available. They have become less available in the last year or so because what happens is generally a city allocates money to these programs, and when they run out of it, they don't get it allocated generally for another year or so. And with the housing boom that we had in the, you know, mostly 2005, kind of stretching into the early part of 2006, most of them ran out of money. So that's the city seconds. Those are a good angle, but like I said, they're difficult to get. Going a little further, the typical old style loan that used to be mainly for first time home buyers, but once again, it wasn't only for first time home buyers, it could be for anybody, were the FHA programs. You kind of have seen FHA programs go out of favor only because subprime got so big, you know, mortgages where people could get them, you know, if they were just breathing. And the FHA loans also have lower loan limits. So mostly in California and the higher cost states, it was difficult to get an FHA loan because in California, for instance, the highest you can get an FHA loan for is approximately $360,000. It's actually a little bit more, but right around that area. So you can see if you're trying to buy a home in California, a $360,000 loan isn't going to get you very far.
I've got a lovely shack in the middle of Lower Granada Hills for that, maybe.
Exactly. And you can maybe fit your dog in there with you. But
if you're lucky.
Exactly. And then going forward more, so FHA is a good program because, oh, the FHA program only requires you to put down 3%.
Can I stop you just for a second? Can you actually give us what the FHA is real quick?
Oh, that's right. The FHA is the Federal Housing Administration, and they provide mortgage money for what they typically called it was less than A paper borrowers. The FHA loans go back 25, 30 years. And they're really a great loan. They really are. They have some good programs. The best part is, like I started, is you only have to put down 3%. So if you're buying a $400,000 house, your down payment would be, you know, $12,000. Now, the interesting thing is they also allowed seconds to go over to make up the difference between 97% and 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can actually come into a house with no money down. And these loans are usually pretty good loans. Now, the other two loans I want to touch on that are for first-time home buyers, but once again, anybody can get one. You don't need to be a first-time home buyer, is a thing called a Fannie Mae Flex 100. And so you don't have to put any money down on this. And there's also a thing called the My Community Mortgage. Now, these were started by Fannie Mae. Now, if you don't know who Fannie Mae is, I'll put a little definition on the blog, too, for you. Fannie Mae is the Federal National Mortgage Association, and they were started by the government to create a liquid market for mortgages back 25, 30 years ago. So what that means is they provide money in the market to buy up mortgages from people, so it keeps lenders going and providing more mortgages.
So it's kind of a subsidy. It's kind of a subsidy, a governmental program to help keep the mortgage industry moving forward.
Exactly. And it really does work. I mean, typically Fannie Mae mortgages perform very well, and they have an automated underwriting system where it allows us to get people loan approvals faster. But they offer two programs, the Flex 100 and the My Community. The My Community allows you to actually put zero money down as well, and it doesn't require you to have a lot of money left over when you do buy the house. So it's a really good option for people looking to buy a home that don't have a lot of money. As well as the Fannie Mae Flex 100, the Flex stands for flexible. You don't need any money down for that. The only difference is on the Flex 100, they require your credit to be a little better. So typically, if you're a first-time home buyer, don't fret. It is a scary situation, but it's good to know that there's three things you can do that are real simple, the real programs that you can actually look into. Well, there's actually four choices you have. You have the choice of City Seconds, but like I mentioned, they're just very difficult to get. There's the FHA loans, which you kind of need in the lower cost areas, the lower cost states, and maybe the outskirts in California, kind of the Central Valley in California and the Riverside, San Bernardino areas. You have a little lower house prices. And then there's the Fannie Mae program and the Flex 100 in the My Community, which can really help you out because you don't need a lot of money down, and it requires you less stringent abilities on the part of the borrower. So those are some good programs for first-time home buyers, Doug. And what I want to make sure is if you are, you know, planning to buy a home, definitely call a mortgage loan officer first, because they can help you out and let you know what you need to do to get to that point where you would qualify for a mortgage. So anytime you're getting ready to buy a home, definitely find your local loan officer, give them a call, and they can help work it out for you.
So, Rick, we were talking earlier, and you said you had a very interesting question from one of your clients. So why don't you relate that, and we'll use that as the question of the week.
All right, Doug. Yes, I was talking to someone on the phone the other day, and they asked me, because they had heard all the press going on in the newspaper and such about stated income loans. And some people were calling them liar loans, because these are the loans where you don't have to verify your income. And what they asked me was, if my loan officer lied about my income, am I liable for fraud? And it's a good question, and unfortunately, yes, you are, because what they do is the loan officer will have the 1003, which is the loan application, sent to escrow when you sign your loan documents. And typically what they'll do is they'll put your income in there, and they require your signature on page 3, which says you attest to the fact that everything is true and correct on the application. So yes, if the income isn't anywhere near correct, you would be liable for fraud if something got that far. Now, fortunately, it doesn't generally get down as low as the borrower level, because typically fraud happens, you know, between people in the industry, it doesn't usually get as far down as the borrowers, fortunately. But that could happen, and so it's something you want to watch out for when you're talking with your loan officer, and he says, "Oh, I can get you approved with anything, you know, no problem at all. I can get your loan approved." Find out how he's doing it, because you know if you don't qualify for that loan, and you know you don't, you certainly want to be careful, because you don't want the FBI knocking on your door 3 years from now. So, yes, you are liable if your loan officer does commit fraud. So definitely watch yourselves out there. Thank you for joining us on this week's podcast, and please be sure to join us next week when we'll be talking about reverse mortgages. What the heck are they? Do I need one? And is it a good idea? Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.
For more information, visit the website at pacificresidential.com/show. There you can find past shows, interesting blog posts, and more. If you listen to Mortgages Made Simple directly from the website, please consider subscribing. It's free and you'll receive each new episode automatically. You'll find a link on the website, pacificresidential.com/show. Are you looking for a great home loan? Call Pacific Residential at 888-868-2198. Tell your loan officer you're a podcast listener and receive a free credit report. If you later get your loan through Pacific Residential, when your loan closes, we'll refund the appraisal fee for podcast listeners. This show is a production of WelchRite.com, WelchRite.com.